I'm going to begin just by asking you this simple question. Are you more like Christ today than you were last week? What we're going to do as we look at Philippians chapter 2 today is answer that question. How can you? How can you be more like Christ today than you were last week? If you're somebody who is just checking Christianity out, you're kind of wondering, what is it that Christians believe? Then you've come on a good night. Because we are going to kind of explore that, and you get a picture. You get the key picture, the key understanding for what it is that we as a church believe, for what it is that we as Christians are actually doing. Keep thinking about it. Just keep thinking about the last 7 days. Are you more like Christ today than you were last week? Why do I ask that question? Well, our vision as a church, as the whole of St. Mark's, is to see people's lives transformed by Jesus. Actually, see all of Avalon, Palm Beach, the beaches, the peninsula, our city, transformed by Jesus, becoming more and more like God's Son, Jesus Christ. That's our great vision. But I wanted to start off by saying this to you. Before we jump into the Bible, I want to let you know, we're going to read some kind of strange things. We've been around church for a little while, and you might kind of resist it. You may be thinking, oh, I don't know if that's right, but I just really want to make this point clearly. If you are a Christian, if you are a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, God has worked in you to make you like Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be saved. This church here is full of sinners. It's full of saved sinners. That's what we are. That's a description of followers of Jesus Christ, of Christians. We shouldn't think too highly of ourselves because we are sinners. That's what the Bible tells us. But we shouldn't think too lowly of ourselves either, because Jesus Christ has saved us. He loved us so much that he went to the cross to die for us and save us from our sins. That's our salvation. So I just want you to hold on to that as we look at verse 12 and read that with me. God has worked in you to make you like Jesus. When God looks at you, he sees his perfect Son, Jesus Christ. But then this is what Paul says to his dear friends, and it's really personal. He really loves these people, and he says in verse 12, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Now, as you read that, you might be thinking, oh, Matt, that's actually saying I need to work on my salvation. I need to be good enough and do enough good things that God will be impressed with me. And he'll accept me and save me. But that's not actually what it's saying. That's why I want to make that first point straight away. There is nothing you can do to make God impressed with you. There's nothing you can do to kind of arm wrestle God that he would save you. He has already done it. Jesus Christ has already gone to the cross to die for your sins. And so what this is saying is to continue to work out your salvation. It's saying you have already been saved if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, but continue to work out what that looks like. Continue to work on it and do so with fear and trembling. God is a holy God. God is incredibly powerful. And as you think of him and as you know him more and more, you should do so with fear and trembling. But what Paul is writing to his friends is that he's saying to them, be careful you don't fall into a trap. And there might be some of us who have fallen into that trap where we look at our lives and the plans that we have and we think, you know what? I just want to skate through life and ease into heaven. You know, I get that. I fully understand. There are so many terrible things that happen in this life, and there's a number of things that happen to us because we're Christian. We get rejected. We get criticized. And you might be thinking, you know, all I really want to do is skate through life and then ease into heaven, and I'll be there with Jesus. But God has another plan for your life. He wants you to take a greater risk. He wants you to be more bold. He wants you to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. He wants you to work on it. Work on your heart. Work on your identity. Work on who you are. You're a saved sinner. You are forgiven. You are made perfect. You are like Jesus Christ. God sees you as perfect. He sees you as sinless. So Paul is writing to his friends and he's saying to us, be who you are. Work hard at that. Work hard on it. When I was about 7 years old, I was taught by my Sunday school teacher, and they're incredibly important. Incredibly important Sunday school teacher. And I just love how many of you guys work at Grom Church and serve there. And I was taught that Jesus was my Saviour, that I needed to pray to Him to be saved, and I was. And I've lived with Him as my Saviour, recognising that and understanding that and knowing that Jesus was my Saviour. I got baptised when I was 17 because, you know, it was my faith, not my parents' faith. But it wasn't too much later that I had to really grapple with the fact that Jesus is also my Lord. I knew He was my Saviour, but I hadn't done this. This is what was missing. I hadn't worked out my salvation and done it with fear and trembling. If you were to look at me as a 22, 23-year-old, you wouldn't know that Jesus was my Lord. I was like everybody else. I was working at the time, a company called Foxtel. There was a bunch of us all about the same age. And there was no way that you could tell from the outside that Jesus was my Lord. I remember having a conversation with one of the guys I worked with. And I talked to him about Christianity and Christian things. And he knew that Jesus was my Saviour. And, you know, I can clearly remember this one time after work, we were all at the pub. And he kind of turned to me and said, "Oh, man, you're a Christian. That was the dirtiest joke I've ever heard. Jesus is not Lord of my life." The way that I joked, the way that I acted, the way that I drank, the way that I did relationships was the same as people around me. I didn't have anything to offer. They couldn't believe that God was working in my heart. They couldn't kind of see from my life that God had worked and that I was perfect in God's eyes because of Jesus Christ. And so I want you to hold those two ideas together. God has declared you righteous if you're a believer. He has made you perfect. He sees His perfect Son, Jesus Christ, when He looks at you. And yet at the same time, we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Continue to work on it, on our heart issues, on our life. And it's kind of mysterious how this works. God's working in us, and we're working as well. How much is God? How much is us? Lex said it's probably about 60-40, he reckons. There's no number that you can put to it. It's an incredibly mysterious, incredibly profound thing that the God of the universe is working in your heart. And He says, do that business of working out your salvation. And He says, at the same time, I will work in you. I will continually work in you. And you see that in verse 13. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. God is working in you. His good purpose is that you become like His Son, Jesus Christ. And He is working in you to will and to act. He's working in your very identity. God of the universe is working at that level of your identity. Who you are and what you do. Right deep down in the bottom of your heart, your desires, your ambitions, He is changing you. Your emotions, your plans, the way that you speak, the way that you act, what matters to you, the things that you worship. He is doing that incredible work in your heart. To will and to act. Who you are, what you do. Keep this in mind. Jesus Christ has already done it. Jesus Christ has already made you perfect. What God is doing is He's helping you become what you are. Become who you are. A child of God. A saved sinner. On the cross, remember He cried, "Not my will, Father, but yours." Jesus Christ went to the cross for us, for this plan. His death was in our place. We are completely forgiven. And made perfect. Our sin, all of our sin was placed on Him. His righteousness, all of it was placed on us. Incredible swap. Our identity is changed. We are working on it, and God is working in us to make us more like His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, you may not feel like that. You may look around and you may see some incredibly godly people who you can see Jesus Christ in. You may know people like I do who work in Africa in an orphanage for people whose parents have died of AIDS. And you think, so how can they be so sacrificial and so generous and be the hands and the mouthpiece and the feet and the lips of Jesus Christ? That Jesus Christ working in that place. How did they get there? They didn't go in year 10 to the careers advisor and say, this is what I want to do. God worked in them. They met Jesus Christ. They were transformed. And they worked out that salvation. They said, not my desires, not my ambitions, not my money, not my life of comfort that I want, but I want to be made in your image. They worked it out, and God was working in them. You may not be there yet, but you're on your way. God's plan is not that you skate through life and ease into heaven. God's plan is that you become more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. I remember meeting a friend of mine. I used to go to uni in Wollongong. I was traveling up to Sydney, Central Station. It's a pretty scary place. I was there. I was waiting a while. And both of us didn't have mobile phones. I was waiting for this girl. We were going to catch up, have lunch together. And she was late. And then I saw her. And she was walking along with the scruffiest, stinkiest, homeless guy. She walked into McDonald's and bought him lunch. Sat down and talked with him. And I saw her there. And loved him and cared for him. That really rebuked me. You know, I'm so important. I'm waiting for my friends. About 15 minutes late. And here was someone whose heart, it wasn't being transformed into the heart of Jesus Christ. And she saw someone on the train, had nothing. And she loved him the way that Jesus Christ would love him, bought him lunch, sat down, treated him like a person that God had made and that Jesus Christ had died for, and chatted with him. That's all right. We had lunch together later. And I'll never forget that. There's someone who was on the journey becoming more like Christ than I was at the point. And you might feel like that. There's people that you know, and you're not there yet. But God is working in you for his good purpose. Take encouragement from that. You're better than you were last week. One of the places in which we can encourage each other and help each other in this is when we gather together at MCs and in our home groups. And when we do meet up one-to-one, where we can ask each other that question. Are you more like Christ today than you were last week? When we can pray. Please pray that for me. I want you to pray that for me. And I'm going to pray that for you, that you become more like Jesus Christ today than you were 7 days ago or a year ago or yesterday. That you see the world like Jesus Christ does. You love like Jesus Christ. You see people the way that he did. It's very kind of important and interesting to see then what Paul does next, as he writes to his dear friends. Because he starts to talk to them about how being different matters. At first he says there in 14, look, because of this, do everything without grumbling or arguing. If you are like Jesus Christ when you gather together, in 15, you will be blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Being like Jesus Christ matters. Being continually transformed matters so much because you won't be a hypocrite like I was at my workplace. You will have something to offer to those people around you. You will be the light shining in the darkness. You will shine like stars. He says, if you love like Christ and you forgive like Christ and you treat people like Jesus Christ did. And we can do that together as a church. If you remember a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about what Philippi, the city of Philippi, was like. It's like a little outpost. In the Roman Empire, it's based around the capital city, Rome, and all around here. And then in Macedonia, there's this little Roman outpost that was a full member of the Roman Empire. And that image is stayed in my mind. We as a church are to be like a little outpost amid the darkness, amid the pagan world, who worship so many other things. We're to be this little community of light to shine like stars. We're like the Barrenjoey Lighthouse. If you think about Barrenjoey churches, there we are to shine like stars because we have the love of Jesus Christ. We have been transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And among the darkness of this warped and crooked generation, that is God's plan for you and for me, to be like Jesus Christ. That is his good purpose, and he is acting in us to make that possible. But he's also saying to us, work hard at that. Work hard at being more like Jesus Christ every single day. Pray for that. Ask that of one another. Be like Christ. And then this is the next thing that Paul does. And this is incredibly helpful as well. He starts to talk about two people who are more like Jesus Christ and will be of incredible help to the Philippians. And this is an encouragement for us as well, to find people like that in our lives, that as we follow them, we will be following Jesus Christ. As we seek to be more like them, we'll be more like Jesus Christ. He talks about two people, Timothy and Epaphroditus, in verse 19. This is how he describes Timothy. He says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare, for everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But Timothy is different. What do you know about Timothy? He has genuine concern for the welfare of the Philippians. He loves the Philippians, and he's not concerned for his own interests, ambitions, desires, but for the things of Jesus Christ. He is so like Jesus Christ that he loves like Jesus Christ, and he is so wrapped up and concerned with the things of God. And Paul said, I'm going to send him to you to be an encouragement and to be a help. But then he also talks about somebody else, Epaphroditus, who was sent from the Philippians to be a help and encouragement to Paul. And he says of Epaphroditus, he worked so hard for the gospel. He cared so greatly for me. He nearly died. He was that sick. I'm going to send him back to you because he's such an incredible encouragement. These are two men who are like Jesus Christ. They're being transformed more and more into the image of Christ. And if you seek to be like them, if you seek as a church to honor people like them, you'll become more and more like Jesus. That's an encouragement for us. Some of our leaders, leaders of MCs, leaders of a youth group, leaders of our church, some of the older women that you would have met last night are like this. They're an incredible encouragement for you. They are the people that you look at and you see they are like Jesus Christ. They are more like Jesus Christ than I am, and I can learn from them. And we do that together. They see people the way Jesus Christ does. They see the world the way he does. They are his hands and his feet and his mouthpiece. I want to tell you about my friend, Georgia. You may have, a couple of you may have met her last night or this morning at church if you came. And she's the godmother to Eliza. So she's up for Eliza's birthday. We have a little celebration today. And Georgia stayed for a couple of nights with us. And it's kind of good for her. She's about 19, 20. And she got to stay with us. And she got to learn from two godly people, my wife and I. So, and that's what I'm saying. She got to see the nitty-gritty of a Christian marriage. She's a believer herself. She got to see the nitty-gritty of being parents. And it was up front. It was late at night. It was as milk was spilled over the brekkie table, as we got angry, as we asked for forgiveness, as we sought to be like Christ in that family. And she saw that. And that matters. That's helpful for her. That's an encouragement for her. But then also she has this formal arrangement where she is the godmother of Eliza. And she prays for Eliza. And she read the Bible to Eliza. And she encouraged Eliza. And she loved her. And she cared for her. And she was really gentle because, you know, not in your 20s, you really want to hang around with a three-year-old who's screaming all the time. But she cared for her, like Jesus Christ. Incredible encouragement to me to see that, as I sought to be encouragement to her. But the story is much more than that. When my wife Amy was first working, she had a relationship with George's mum and dad. Now, they were a few years older, and they'd met doing some mission work in Nepal. They'd come back, and they were teachers. And they were teachers down at Ulladulla, and Amy was a teacher here in Sydney. And every second Friday or so, Amy would travel down, and she would spend a couple of nights with them. And she would see a godly couple. And she would see them in their Christian marriage. What is it like to be a husband and wife? And she would see them as parents. What's it like to raise Georgia and her sister as you forgive and as you love and as you care? And Pete, who was the husband, I mean, he was an incredibly godly man. His pattern was to, he would make a cup of tea every morning, and he would give it to his wife. And then he would read a passage of the Bible to Robin, share that with her, pray, and then they would get on with their day. That's an incredible challenge to me. Georgia doesn't see that in me. That's an incredible challenge. But it's more than that. couple of years ago, George's dad, Peter, was at work where he was the principal, and he collapsed with a brain tumor, and he died. And so Georgia, as a young teenager, has had to work out what it means to live without her dad. She's had to work out what it means to question and to doubt God, who took away someone incredibly important in her life. She's had to work out how she could not only stay a Christian, but love God and find joy in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and to be more like Christ through this. And when she's at uni, she leads Bible study. She's part of a church. She meets up one-to-one with a few girls. And that is an incredible encouragement to me, because I've never had to do that. I've never lost an immediate member of my family and had to work through the anger at God and had to work out what does it mean to follow God, to follow Christ through that. And so we're encouragement to each other. And let me just say to you, we are. God has placed us together here as a church. He's placed us together as a St. Mark's, as a wider church family. He's placed us in our groups, in our rising groups, in our MC and home groups, so that we can model to one another what it is to follow Christ. We can pray for one another. We can ask, are you more like Christ, even in this crisis? In the good times, yes. And as you learn more and you gather more information, yeah, but even as you struggle, even as you doubt, we can pray for one another and ask one another, be more like Jesus Christ. Remember, God has worked in you through the death and resurrection of his Son to make you like Jesus. We are perfect in his eyes. But he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work at it, while at the same time I am working in you for my good purpose. Let me pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, would you just stop for a moment, we pause and we say sorry for the ways in which we have spent so much time just in the trivial things of life. As we think about our desires and ambitions, and they haven't included you. But we pray now, Father, just as we pause for a moment, please will you make us more like Jesus Christ. Will you bring people into our lives who will encourage us to be more like Jesus Christ? Will we be the people who encourage others to be more like Jesus Christ? And Father, I pray that the quality of our love and care and grace to one another will make us shine like stars to the dark world that's around us, which includes our friends and our family that we love dearly. May they see something different, and may we hold out the words of truth and life to them. Father, we know that the beaches need Jesus. We know that time is ticking and that you will return as you have promised. And so we bring them before you now and ask that you use us and change us and help us to be the people who speak and act and love and do the work in our heart now, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen.